Welcome to Nature Calls, conversations from the Hudson Valley. Our team's goal is to present science-based information about gardening and all things nature in New York's Hudson Valley. Host Gene and Tim, along with team members Teresa and Linda, are master gardener volunteers for New York's Columbia and Greene counties. So if you're interested in gardening or nature or nuggets of information about what's happening outside your door, settle in. Enjoy the conversation. Whatever the season, we have something to say.
I am Tim Kenalty.
And I'm Gene Thomas.
And welcome to Nature Calls Conversations from the Hudson Valley. Hey, Gene, we have an exciting guest, a good friend of mine, Kathy Bruce, and she's going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, raising ducks today.
Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I understand you're not a duck professional, but you've been raising ducks for a few years now in the Hudson Valley, so you can talk to us about all the basics. Let's start with your background. Do you raise other animals? And how did you come to raising ducks?
Yeah, great question. So we spent about 10 years on a farm in Georgia a while back in between stints in and out of New York City. And then about three years ago, we ended up in the Hudson Valley and kind of restarted farming, if you will. So currently, back in Georgia, I owned up to about 30 chickens at the time. So I really got into chickens then with my son. And then now the last 3 years, we got back into chickens and we have some chickens. And then I also have two horses. We have a couple dogs and a couple cats. So we've got a zoo over there.
And maybe a patient husband. Shout out to Alistair, who's pretty patient, right?
Yes, I sort of dragged him into the whole hobby farming thing. And we got into the ducks about a year and a half ago.
And you don't even really have a farm. You have a big property, right? So you don't really have to have a farm to do all of this, right?
No, actually, that's true. We have a lot of what we inherited with our property is a lot of wooded area, actually. And so we have done some creative things to make it suitable for horses and for chickens and ducks.
So I have to admit that I have been obsessed with ducks since I've seen your videos and I've seen your ducks. They seem like they have such personalities and wonderful. I've even been tempted. I bought a book on raising ducks. But tell us, like, why would our listeners want to raise ducks? Why duck?
Yeah, so I asked myself the same question last year. And I think, you know, I had been... Like I said, I'd been raising chickens on and off for the last 15 years, and I got them predominantly for eggs. So egg production, when my son was little, we started with the chickens. We named our chickens. We would never think of eating our chickens. Right. And so we would get really nice chicken eggs, and we would share them with the community and things like that. But my neighbor in the Hudson Valley about a year and a half ago, moved in. They moved up from Brooklyn, and she was going all over buying duck eggs. She was obsessed with duck eggs and told me how good they were and how, you know, wonderful they were for baking and that sort of thing. So I started looking into ducks, and I thought, oh, this might be kind of interesting. Different types of eggs. And so I just started researching what the different breeds were and, you know, what breeds were good to have for egg production, not meat production, because we don't do meat production at my house. But yeah, so the really, like, what would be a good pet? And they just seemed really interesting. So I thought this might be an interesting thing to add to my little farm I've got with my chickens.
And you're obviously happy you did, right?
Very happy. In fact, I'm pretty much now moving, truth be told, I'm moving into solely ducks, I think. And we can talk about why.
Uh-oh, chickens.
Maybe we can talk about why.
Yeah, getting rid of chickens is always a good thing at my house.
Gene has a thing against chickens.
I was traumatized. It's not by choice. It's not by choice that my chickens have been leaving my property. We can talk about predators
and
things certainly as well.
Okay, so if you got ducks, you like need a pond or a lake or something, right?
No.
Kiddie pool?
Yes. So that was very, one of the things that I, you know, I considered, I thought, well, I don't want to get an animal where I can't create a suitable habitat for them, right? I want them to be, I always want my animals to be happy. So we don't have a pond. And so we, I looked into all the different types of kiddie pools they've got online. I ended up starting with a dog pool that was collapsible. I found it on Amazon, and that way I could move it around. And it worked for a perfect little starter home for them. Because one of the things you have to do when you get ducklings, when you get them as babies, is you can't put them outside right away. They need heat. And so I had a chicken coop, a really nicely set up chicken coop, but I needed to have my ducks inside. So I had them in this large dog pool, if you will, collapsible dog pool. And then this past year, Tractor Supply just came out with a more of a fowl-friendly kiddie pool, if you will, because the kiddie pools online were much bigger than what we needed. So, and also, depending on how many ducks you have. The kiddie pools work great.
I think you're seeing the patience of her husband now when you say, I had a kiddie pool inside my house, right?
I want to know how many ducks it takes to fill a kiddie pool.
Well, we have, so currently we have 7 ducks. I started with 5 a year and a half ago. So I had 1 drake and 4 females. One of the females, the only duck I've lost so far, got picked off by a hawk pretty early on. I've had no issues with predators with my ducks since then. And that was after I had introduced them outside at the appropriate age, which is usually you want the babies to get to a size and obviously a space where they're healthy enough that you can then put them outside.
And too heavy for the hawk to lift.
I think that may be what's going on because the hawks are not bothering my ducks anymore.
So you need fat ducks. Right?
Well, I have bigger breeds, so right, and we'll right, get into that yeah, in a yeah. moment. But yeah, it definitely, I'm finding less of an issue with predators with my ducks than my chickens, for sure.
Okay, so to back to the real basics. So you have a kiddie pool, which I could buy a kiddie pool, but what else do you, what are the real basics in terms of shelter and food too? Like, what do you need if I wanted to start right now and start with ducks?
Yeah. So again, it depends on how old they are when you get them. So I have only gotten them as ducklings. So when I got them, they were, you know, a few days old, literally that very, very small. And so initially you need some kind of setup, whether it's an outside structure setup where you can have a heat lamp on them or other some kind of source of heat and protection when they're little. You definitely need that. Now, I always choose to have them inside. The garage worked well for us. We had a little space where I could put that. So you definitely need some kind of enclosure. And as they get bigger and they start using their wings a little bit, I used a dog X pen. So I would put the dog X pen around the kiddie pool that I used. So you need shavings for that. You need shavings for bedding. You need some kind of bedding. I also use I can't remember the name of it, but it's a wonderful, instead of a heat lamp, which can be kind of dangerous, they make these brooder plates. So I got a brooder plate, which you can adjust the heat on, and then they just go under that to sleep and get the heat. So you need some kind of, again, heat source, whether it's a brooder plate or a heat lamp. You need the shavings for the base. So the biggest issue with ducklings when they're small is ducks have to have full-time access to water. They need that, not just what we were talking about for the fun part of it, like right. The kiddie pool playing around, but they also need it to eat. They have to have water with their food. Unlike a chicken who could, you know, eat a bunch of stuff and then later have some water, the ducks actually need the water to soften their bill. Actually, they have holes in their bills and the water, they kind of sift out and softens the food.
Are they eating in the pool?
I mean, it's great. So what we do is I start them off inside, but you need some kind of contained water source that they can't drown in. Ah. That's the biggest fear for when they're little. Okay. Is you need something that they can dip their bills in to, you know, so you get it. So I use a very small chicken waterer that's, you know, maybe got an inch of water initially until they start getting bigger. And then you need their food. And you can use any kind of, like you can use a chicken, a basic poultry feed. The difference between chickens and ducks, though, is you cannot use a medicated feed. That will harm them. So ducks can't have it. Like chickens, you would offer a medicated initial feeder. Ducks, it's got to be an unmedicated. And the main source, extra source supplement they need is brewer's yeast. I did a lot of research on that. They need the, is it Nicene? I don't know how to pronounce it. Nicene, yes. The ducks need that.
It's a B vitamin.
Yeah, they need that. So you just add that to their early crumble feed early on. So those are the basics when you're starting out.
And you have to start with ducklings. I'm thinking of an easy way around this. Can I get old ducks?
Totally. Totally.
I think I might want to buy the old ducks.
Yes.
Duck.
So yeah. That makes it, if you were to get a juvenile duck, right? Or an adult, a full adult duck, you don't have to go through all of that stuff. So then what you're going to need is a good predator-proof enclosure outside. Again, you're going to need some kind of bedding. There's lots of different thoughts on bedding for that enclosure. You're going to need some kind of food, whether it's some kind of grower feed. They make an all fowl, all poultry feed now that you can use for both chickens and ducks, which is really nice if you have both. And then again, a 24-hour source of water.
And can they hang out outside the enclosed area in the daytime?
They can. So my goal always, whether it's with chickens or ducks, is to have them free range. That is the healthiest thing for them. They eat bugs. They eat grass. They eat ducks will eat slugs. Ducks have these bills that, now I'm going to tell you right up front, ducks are messy. They are messy. It's just part of the gig.
That makes me like them more.
But their entertainment makes up for it. Yeah. Their entertainment factor makes up for it. But their bills, they'll actually use their bills to dig down into the mud and the dirt and find those slugs and bugs. So
they mess up your garden if you have them like in a garden.
They can. Yeah. I mean, what we did is we have a large shed that we renovated into a chicken coop, and we added an extra fenced in area attached to it with netting over the top so that all hawks can't get in. So if I've got a predator issue, I can keep them in so they're both inside and out, but then that means they're not free ranging. So then I've got to supplement with extra vegetables, things like that.
And do you have to be outside when they're free ranging? Do you have to be out hanging out with them, or can they do it
themselves? Well, when my fox isn't around, I don't. But that's been one of the main issues we've had.
Foxes.
Is predators, yeah.
Okay, Jean's got an issue. Definition. Okay.
Yes.
How free is free range? Like they go out in the road like people do with their chickens and let them run around in the road and stuff?
No, that would not be smart. So
I realize that. That's why I ask.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm very fortunate. I live very far off the road up on a hill, and then I've got a lot of wood acreage behind me. So my ducks, now what was really interesting is, so when I introduced them outside at about 4 months old, so I took them out when they were about 4 months old, introduced them into my enclosure and started letting them free range. Now I did a little bit of that before the 4 months, where I would put them in an X pen and I'd give them a nice little, you know, I used one of my horse water trough things, small like little basin, or you could use like a large dog bowl.
Do you use anything for its original purpose?
I'm a big recycler. Hey. I like things that are multifunctional.
You should write a book on how to repurpose.
Yeah,
things,
I'm always looking around going, how can I reuse that? And so I don't have to go buy it. Because, man, I live at Tractor Supply. I'm there quite a bit.
That could be the name of her autobiography. I live at Tractor Supply.
So free ranging. So it was very interesting to me to see how far they would go. Right? Like to see how far they would venture out.
So you establish their home base.
Home base first. Keep them in their enclosure first for several weeks. Yep. Feed them out of there. That way they know that's where they go back at night. So what we would do is let them out again before this fox thing started happening a few weeks ago. They'd be out most of the day, and then they're really easy to wrangle back in. Now, I have a border collie. So if my border collie were doing her job, you know, if you had a nice dog that could herd them in. Nice thing about ducks is they stay together. Mm-hmm. They never, like the chickens will kind of go wherever. The ducks will always stay together. always.
So you need a border collie and the ducks.
No, you need a working border collie.
Yeah, you need a working border collie. Mine is retired. But actually, you don't need a dog. I mean, they herd. Again, if you establish that home base, like you said, and that's a really good point, Gene, you just raised, is establishing the home base is really important for those first couple weeks before you. And then you let them out a little bit at a time, right? Mm-hmm. Now, as they got to be about 9 months old is when I started seeing them really start to kind of go a little bit further away from the house. And I was like, oh dear, how far are they going? But again, if you keep some food sources and as long as they have enough foraging area around their coop, they're going to pretty much stay.
That works for us too.
And
yeah.
And they don't fly away, right? I mean,
no, now they can fly. I mean, they fly, but they're very low to the ground.
Okay.
They're very low to the ground. And again, if you keep a kiddie pool or something near your enclosure,
they're going to want to be there.
They're going to want to be there and play. I mean, my ducks are, as soon as they come out of their enclosure, they're in that kiddie pool. There'll be like seven of them in one kiddie pool.
I'm back to the adult ducks because I have so much trouble, it sounds like, today. So where do you source your ducks? Do you buy them online? Do you get them locally? And also, what breeds are you looking for?
Yeah, great question. Yeah. So I have used Murray McMurray Hatchery for over 15 years. They are a hatchery out of Missouri. Most of my chickens, if I'm going to raise them from babies, they have a phenomenal reputation, and I have never had an issue with the shipping.
So how do they ship?
They ship in a little box, so that the first batch of ducklings I got came in a little box. At the post office.
I love that.
Yes, and they put, some electrolyte-type stuff in with them. They're usually good for about 48 hours after they're born. So, and I'm never had an issue with this company, and they're always healthy and they're always true to the breed. That's the other thing. If you go to Tractor Supply, you don't know what you're getting, right? I mean, they might tell you you're getting a khaki Campbell.
We disclaim all liability from Tractor Supply.
That's right. No lawsuits.
No,
please.
We love Tractor Supply. We love Tractor Supply. But sometimes,
they hop the fence.
They don't know. Yeah, they don't know. So I have two breeds. I have khaki Campbells, which are a lovely brown duck. And then I have my favorite is my silver Appleyards. They are a breed that came out of England. They were crossed. It was like a mallard crossed with a Pekin and some other kind of duck. So they have a lot of color to them. They're white with these beautiful iridescent blue tipped wings. Mm. And they're big birds. Both of those breeds, I picked them because they were very good egg layers. That's why I picked them.
And so, heavy.
And yeah, they're substantial.
Okay. When you have ducks and they need company, what's the minimum number of ducks you should have?
Well, the hatcheries will force you into a minimum order.
You can't just buy one duck.
Certain hatcheries do have a minimum that you have to purchase. I believe when I got these first batch of ducks, because then I incubated more ducks later, which we can talk about if you want. But I believe I had to order five or six. It was five or six was the minimum order. Now, if you were to buy locally somewhere, like if you bought from a breeder or something like that, obviously you wouldn't have a minimum order. But a lot of times the hatcheries. And again, you wouldn't want to buy one duck.
Right.
I mean, that just wouldn't.
That'd be mean.
It's like Easter. Like at Easter when people get the chicks and they buy one for a child.
It's not ideal. And the other thing is I wanted a drake. So I wanted a drake because I wanted to potentially incubate some eggs. So I bought one drake and then five females. Obviously, the drakes don't lay eggs. So
when you were talking about the breeds, I know you chose them for egg laying and for size because of predators, but also hardiness, right? I mean, we used to have pretty bad winters, right? So you want to choose a duck that breed that's like hardy, right?
Well, here's the amazing thing. I believe in the research I did, and I've certainly experienced this with my own ducks, ducks in general are hardy, much hardier than chickens.
Hardy health-wise, but also hardy
both.
Cold-wise.
Both.
Right?
Okay. I mean, yeah, we're up here, right, in the snow. We get the snow up here, especially I'm over on the other side of the river in the Catskills. we get, I mean, my ducks, my chickens last winter looked outside, saw the snow and said, no thanks. And the ducks walked right out into the snow. They were pushing the snow around with their bills. They had no problems. Their feet, I think, are designed a little bit better, those webbed feet, to handle the cold rather than the chickens in terms of the wetness and the,
you know, they got snowshoes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was fascinating.
So you don't need a heater in your pen during the winter at all?
No. I have not needed a heater at all.
Interesting.
No. Now, again, that's because they're of a certain age. So, like, once they're 6 months and older, you know, you really don't need that.
I'm going to ask one more 6 months and older because I'm not buying ducklings, I've decided. and that is, you can't get those through the mail. You'd have to go to a local breeder for, right? Or like I'd come to you and say, give me some of your juvenile ducks.
Yes.
Right?
So I had looked into that myself, actually, because I thought, you know, because I had bought, like, 1 year, I remember when I got chickens, I was like, I don't want to deal with the chick thing, so right. I'll just get some pullets. And Murray McMurray would do pullets for chickens, but they did not have any older ducks. You could only buy the ducklings.
So you'd have to find a local breeder.
You'd have to find a local breeder. And I'm sure there are many around here.
I could just picture putting a little stamp on their forehead.
I don't know what that means, James.
Put them in the mailbox with a stamp on their forehead.
Oh, that's God, you're just a horrible person.
Well, you gotta know your post office. Like, I gotta tell you, because I had one mail lady, she called me when it was the duckling arrival, actually, and she called me at like 6:30 in the morning, and she said, when are you coming? Are you coming soon?
So they are noisy.
They are noisy.
I know I'm going to age myself, but it's like Petticoat Junction where Cora the mail lady calls and says the ducks are in, right?
And then she was very concerned about when I was going to be showing up. And I said, I'm clearly on my way. Let me just put some clothes on, you know.
Well, I like that.
But I guess sometimes people wait, you know, and you know, if they're sitting there at the post office,
well,
you don't want to do
that. It's about being a responsible person with your animals,
Absolutely. Right?
I mean, and that's really important.
Absolutely.
So talk about duck eggs, because you talked about duck eggs and how delicious they were. And Jean noticed that there are none here for us to sample. I mean, I thought Kathy's talked about it many times. I've never seen a duck egg.
I don't know about you, but I'm just too subtle. We're going to have to just flat out ask.
Where are those duck eggs? Yeah. They're great for baking, right? They're really delicious.
They are fabulous for baking. And they're really good scrambled. I mean, they're they are known for being really good for baking. The only issue I'm having with them right now is they're so big. They're very big, and they don't fit in my, of course, you know, I'm the recycler. So all my recycled egg cartons.
Oh, they don't fit in the egg carton?
They don't fit very well in there. Now the khaki Campbell eggs are a little bit smaller, but my silver apple yard eggs are big. So I'm still on the hunt for figuring out how to find some larger carton containers.
I've always had people give me like chicken eggs fresh. I mean, how long do they last? And do they last less than if you buy eggs in the market?
No. Most of the eggs you're buying in the supermarket are at least 6 to 8 weeks old already.
Oh, I'm going to stop eating them.
Is that new news to you?
Yeah, it is new news. It is new news.
Yeah. And the other misnomer is that, you have to put them in the refrigerator right away. Right. No, they have a bloom on them. As long as you don't wash them, they can sit out on your counter. Mine sit out on my counter for several weeks.
Remind me not to eat there again.
You're such a city boy.
And they're totally fine. They're totally fine. Now, if you wash them, then you need to put them in the refrigerator.
Right.
Because you've washed the bloom off.
And would you want to wash them?
I wash them, like if I'm giving them, so, you know, I work at a church and I donate a lot of my eggs, which is why I didn't bring you any eggs today, because we just had our senior breakfast.
So I'm even worse asking for them.
So I donated like 5 dozen eggs already. But yeah, so I would wash, you know, if they get stepped on or, you know, again, the ducks are a little messy.
Right.
So sometimes they'll get some
dirty.
They'll get a little dirty. But and the other interesting thing is with the chickens like to lay up in nests that are higher. So that's how I've worked it out with integrating the chickens and the ducks in the same coop, is the ducks lay on the ground. So
condos.
So I have my nesting boxes up for the chickens. So they're sort of higher in the coop, and then the ducks are down below, and they prefer to make their own nest below.
So you said something very controversial at the beginning where you said you're thinking of getting rid of some of your chickens in place of ducks. Talk about chickens versus ducks.
so getting rid of chickens, not by choice. I've just been losing a lot of chickens. Like, I literally just lost one yesterday.
They're more disease prone, right?
They are more disease prone. They are more predator prone. I love them. I mean, we got into so many different breeds and varieties of chickens. I love all of them. They just have different health issues. Mm-hmm. And they're more just susceptible, like I said, because they will roam off a little bit and they don't stay together. I think that may be another reason why the foxes have been a little more successful at getting the chickens. But it's not by choice, but I find the ducks are hardier healthy-wise. They're hardier with their health. They're hardier in the winter. They're great egg producers. And they are funny as all get out.
Yeah, talk about that.
We just sit outside. We will literally sit outside, get a lawn chair, and just sit by the kiddie pool and watch them dive and swim and splash. And they're just full of personality.
Get rid of your streaming services. Just get some ducks, right?
Save a fortune.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's tricky in the winter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a little cold.
That's true.
Be a little cold, yeah.
And what about predators for both? I mean, you said you have a fox problem, and of course, bears or coyotes. You have certain perimeters around your pen and things like that, fencing to keep those predators out?
Yeah. So, I mean, we do have a bear, but I don't think bears eat chickens, to my knowledge, or ducks. But the fox certainly will, and raccoons. We've caught raccoons on our trail cam as well. So what I have and what I highly recommend for anybody with a coop with ducks or chickens is a thing called predator eyes. They are the best protection for nighttime. They're a little solar, they're solar operated, and you put them on the outside of your coop, and they're two little red beady blinking eyes, and you put them at like raccoon level height, maybe about 18 inches up from the ground. You just nail them into the side of your coop, and the predator thinks there's a predator there
because of the beady eyes.
It wouldn't work at my house. They'd fall in love.
See, that would keep me away. I'd be afraid of them, actually.
Some people come, like they drive by at night, they're like, what is going on over there? It's like Halloween. But I have found them to be the most effective at keeping predators out of the coop.
I see.
At night.
See.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm just thinking about all of this. Is just a lot.
It's a lot of fun.
So you would choose different breeds if you were looking to raise ducks for their meat, right? I mean, I would assume that the ducks you chose were for egg laying. There's different ducks. Not that any of us necessarily want to be out there butchering ducks, but you would choose different ducks for their meat.
Probably so. I believe the Silver Apple Yard, so they came out of England. They were introduced to the United States in 1960s. I believe those are also meat birds as well. Like they're big, they're on the bigger side. But yeah, I mean, just like with chickens, there's some breeds of chickens that are really good for egg production. There's some that are good for meat. It's the same thing with ducks. So you've got different types of breeds for
those. Okay, what's smarter, a chicken or a duck?
Good question.
That's a good question. Not a turkey. We know not a turkey.
We know it's not turkeys.
Right.
Good question. I think they're both equally smart.
Oh, there you go. Such a diplomatic answer.
Well, I used to train dogs. Mm-hmm. And so in my dog training, we actually trained some chickens. And chickens are very smart. We did positive reinforcement training with chickens.
Okay.
And the ducks, I feel like the ducks would be equally as smart. The ducks are just more carefree.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like, let's go out and just have some fun
today. It's kind of the fun friend versus the kind of...
Well, that's because they're healthier.
Maybe.
You don't have to worry about their health.
Even when they're cooped up, like we've had them cooped up, the last week or so because of this fox issue. And even outside in their smaller confined area, I'll bring them some watermelon. So my garden is finished. I'll talk a little bit about gardening. My garden is finishing up, and I've got, I've got kale, and I've got some last minute things that are finishing out.
And you can feed them all of that, right?
Yes.
Just let them loose in the garden once you're done with it?
No. So I chop up anything that I want to give them in small bits. Okay. You want to chop it up in small bits, and then I throw it into their fenced-in enclosure. And even out there, they're quite happy, as long as they've got water.
And they do eat anything like that, right? Anything that would be like green or... you said watermelon, probably squash even.
Yeah,
maybe.
I just don't do like the nightshades. Mm-hmm. I don't do the mm-hmm. nightshades and obviously things like avocado and, you know, things like that. And the whole thing with the bread, like I don't give them bread. I don't give them pasta. I know some people do that kind of stuff, but I just feel like what's more natural to them is going to keep them healthier. So greens, absolutely. Any kind of greens, broccoli, fruit, you know, strawberries, blueberries.
So they're like composters almost.
They really are. And that's another great advantage of having ducks is you get the great duck,
you can say poop.
Duck poop. Thank you. And, you know, my son's very big into composting. Uh-huh. And so we will take all that and reuse that for our garden for the next year.
But you do need to compost it. You can't use it.
No, you do
raw,
need to.
Right?
Yeah, you should compost it. Yeah. Just like with
can't
anything.
Use it hot.
Right, hot. Exactly. Because it would burn the plants, just like
it would.
Chicken manure.
Yeah, you
right?
got to have the good mix.
Yeah. Okay, now we're talking about full-grown ones because
I'm
Tim's
afraid of...
Because
right,
Tim's
parent,
afraid of raising right. babies.
I'm afraid of many yeah. things, but that too.
You hatch your own babies? How does that all work?
I did. Oh, so fun. So the one regret is that I did not mark which eggs were which from which breed. I wish I had done that. So I did have to get a different incubator than I would have gotten for chicken eggs because, again, the eggs are bigger. And so with a chicken incubator, you can get incubators that you can do, like, I don't know, more than 12 eggs at a time. So I ended up with 8. I picked 8 duck eggs. And, again, I wish I had a marked because I didn't know which eggs had been fertilized, which breed had right. been, whether it was a Khaki Campbell or the Silver Alpiard. So it was a mystery. Out of the 8 eggs that I incubated, I got 4 that hatched, which is a pretty good rate for a first-time incubation of eggs. So 4 were viable and hatched, and it was lovely. I ended up with 1 drake, which was great, because I actually ended up having to rehome my original drake because he was going after my chickens. Ooh. And that is one important thing that people need to know. If you integrate ducks and chickens, and you can read all kinds of stuff on the internet that says, oh, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it. The reason being is that the drakes, once they become of age, can start trying to mate with the chickens. And it can be really rough on the chickens, and it can actually kill a chicken. So my drake started doing that. So anyway, I incubated these eggs. It was fantastic. They hatched well. They hatched each day. They went over 60 days. It was over 60 days, I believe. At any rate, they were a little on the longer side for this breed. So, but then they hatched like one day after the other. And it's just the coolest thing.
And didn't you had a video that you sent us. Didn't one like almost help the other one get out of the egg?
Yes. So cool. There was one that was like having trouble. Like when they pip, they're using their bill to crack the egg open. Mm-hmm. And this one poor little guy, like he had pipped a little bit and there was a little bit of a crack, but he was just wrestling, trying to get the crack more open in the egg. And then the other little guy that was in there who had already hatched, he's going over and he's pushing him. And you know, again, you know, I don't know if he knew he was trying to help him or not. I don't know the cognitive ability of ducks.
Let's say he was.
But it was definitely helpful. And that's why they say when they hatch, you don't take them out. You leave them in until they've all hatched. And we did that and then moved them obviously into our garage.
And now they're adult ducks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, now they're cool. Yeah, now they're adult. They were born in, well, they're not adults yet, really. They were born at the end of April.
Mm. Okay, back. I got to go back.
Oh. Okay, go back.
Now, you hatched and you said you had 1 drake. What's all this sexing eggs about? Don't you know beforehand? From candling them and stuff?
You know if they're viable by candling. That's a great question.
Uh-huh.
You candle them to see is the egg viable? Like, is it going to actually turn into a baby duck?
Okay.
So you can, and how you see that through the candling is you'll see whether the veins have started. You'll see these spidey veins. And if you don't see those, then you know it's not a viable egg.
And you can put it in a cake.
So you would pull that out. Okay. Exactly. But there is a way to sex them after they've hatched. I just don't know how to do that. Yeah. You have to. It is a little more complex. Yeah. You know,
How did you know he was a drake?
Well, I had a suspicion because once, like in about 3 weeks, not because of that. In about 3 weeks of age, one of the four of them started getting darker. Ah. Like the coloring started coming really darker and they were bigger. They were just a bigger, like they were growing bigger than mm-hmm. the other ones. And I was like, huh, I wonder if that's it. And then typically the surefire way is when you see the head starting to come in, that green color, like the, so I have a cross now. This Drake is an actual cross of a khaki Campbell and a silver Appleyard. So ooh. he's a crossbreed, and he's beautiful. He's got the green mallard looking head, but he's got still got the blue tips, but he's more brown, but he's got the blue tips like the silver Appleyard on his wings. He's gorgeous. He's gorgeous. And so far he's behaving. He's behaving very nicely
good.
With the chickens.
And the chickens will be gone by the time he's mature.
Well, I don't know. Uh-oh. The way the rate my house is going right now, I hope not. But yeah, we're down to four chickens now. So, ooh. Yeah.
So having animals around, we always ask, like, what gives you hope out there in terms of is it some, raising animals and just kind of seeing them? What makes you kind of hopeful about everything going on?
So I have always been an animal person. Like I hearken that back to my days when I would go to my grandparents' farm and I was just around animals. You know, I lived in the suburbs, grew up in the suburbs, but in the summers I would go to my grandparents', you know, 200 acre farm and they always had animals around. So it's been a big part of my life since I was a child. I've always felt connected mm-hmm. to animals. When I'm around them, there's just a peace and a joy. And I've seen this, like I had mentioned Tim to you earlier, my husband is just obsessed with these ducks and he's got a corporate job. And so he's got a very hurried and busy corporate life, right? He can go out there and he's like, I'm going to go play with the ducks now. And he will go fill the kiddie pool and pull up a chair and just spend 30 minutes not thinking about work,
right.
not thinking about all the stresses of life, and just be present in the moment with animals. And I think that is the best gift that animals offer us is the fact that they are present in the moment and we get to just sort of engage in that presence with them. And so that's what gives me hope and gives me joy.
Well, and there's science behind that even, right? With dogs, petting dogs and all of that. That's really lovely. That is great. So that makes me think maybe I do need to get ducks, Gene. What do you think?
I think you should. I just want to watch your dogs with those ducks.
Yeah, that's that's a problem.
Yes, I know your dogs.
Well, you know about dogs. And Kathy always says, well, it's actually not the dog's fault. It's the owner's fault, which the guilt always falls on me then. Right?
Parenting.
Yeah. Parenting 101.
This has been great. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about ducks, Kathy.
We got to do this again.
It's been so much fun.
Thanks for having me. And I hope it encourages your listeners to give ducks a try because they bring a lot of joy.
And thank you to all of our listeners today. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Bring eggs for Tim next time.
I will.
Okay.
That concludes another episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. We would like to thank Sandra Linnell and Devin Connolly from Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties for production support. And a special thank you to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Nature Calls, Conversations from the Hudson Valley. You can find links to any of the topics mentioned in this episode at our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org. Comments and suggestions for future topics may be directed to us at columbiagreenmgb@cornell.edu or on the CCE Master Gardener Volunteers of Columbia and Greene Counties Facebook page. For more information about Cornell Cooperative Extension of Columbia and Greene Counties, visit our website at ccecolumbiagreen.org or visit us in Hudson or in Acre. Cornell Cooperative Extension provides equal programming and employment opportunities.